the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Good morning, brothers and sisters. Just this past week, on Wednesday, we celebrated one of the 12 great feasts of our liturgical year, which is the feast of the Nativity of the Theotokos. That's the birthday of the Virgin Mary. And it's one of the most important events in the history of mankind. And just as Adam and Eve were created by God and set in the Garden of Paradise, but unfortunately then later disobeyed God and brought about our fall from paradise for our human race, so mankind has been also redeemed by Christ, who by becoming man became as a second Adam. And by the same token, the Most Holy Virgin Mary, by her obedience to God's will, became as a second Eve. As St. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 45 and 47, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven." And one of the early church fathers, I believe in around the second century or so, was St. Irenaeus of Lyon. And he wrote that Mary is the second Eve whose obedience liberates humanity from the consequences of the disobedience of the first Eve. And for this reason, on the Feast of the Nativity of Mary, one of the hymns that Orthodox Christians sing goes like, as the words are, "The Mother of Life, who is the renewal of the creation of Adam and the recall of Eve, the fountain of incorruption, the liberation from corruption, through whom we have been deified and delivered from death, is born of the seed of David, dispersing darkness." According to sacred tradition, the Most Holy Virgin Mary sits at the right hand of Christ in the kingdom of heaven. If you remember, there was one time when James and John wanted to be honored, and above the other apostles, and so they asked Christ if they could sit on his left hand and on his right hand in the kingdom of heaven. And Christ said, "You don't know what you're asking. That's already, those places are already taken." And so on every iconostasis of the Orthodox Church, you have, the icon of Christ, and then you have at his right hand, Mother of God, and on his left hand is St. John the Baptist. So that's who gets to sit on his left and his right in the kingdom of heaven. The Holy Mother of God, Virgin Mary, was rich in all the virtues and sets an inspiring example for us in our efforts to follow Christ's commandments to overcome the passions and sins by acquiring and practicing the virtues with God's help. But let's remember, Mary could have exercised her free will not to accept responsibility of becoming the mother of the Messiah. But instead, she willingly chose to follow God's will rather than her own will. Eve, on the other hand, chose to listen to the evil one and follow her own passions when she chose to disobey God's commandment and thereby brought about the fall of our human race. Now, in today's parable of the wedding feast from the Gospel of Matthew, we hear how the king, in other words, the image of God, sent his servants to invite the chosen guests to a marriage feast for his son. And this represents, especially beginning in the Old Testament, how God sent the prophets to invite the people of Israel to receive the Messiah. However, as when you read in the Old Testament, they weren't very nice to the prophets, to say the least. I mean, some of them they killed, some of them they beat and mistreated badly. And then, of course, when the Son of God was sent to them to be their Messiah, of course, they threw him out of the city and crucified him. And as in this parable, God sent his armies and killed those murderers and burned their city. So this is an image of how God later really, worked through the Roman army to kill very many Jewish people at that time and destroy the city of Jerusalem and the temple about 40 years later in 70 AD. And then it says that the servants are sent out to invite other guests to the wedding feast because those first guests were found to be not worthy. Well, those servants, now we're talking about the New Testament, those are the apostles and the disciples of Christ who are, and we are those guests who are now invited. We are the, the Gentiles that are now becoming chosen by God to be the church. And so this marriage feast is really an image of the church. And so St. Gregory the Great says, "The character of those at the banquet reveals clearly that the king's marriage feast represents the church of this time, in which the bad are present along with the good. But the king came in to look at the guests and saw there a person not clothed in a wedding garment, as it says. Well, St. Gregory continues, "What then must we understand by the wedding garment but love? One who is present in the Holy Church and has faith, but does not have love, is like that person who enters the marriage feast without wearing a wedding garment." And in another Holy Father, St. Macarius, in his book on love in chapter 15, says, "By the wedding garment we understand the grace of the Holy Spirit. He who is not worthy to be clothed in it cannot be a partaker in heavenly wedlock and the spiritual bridal feast." And of course, someone who has Christian love for God and for their neighbor will of course be clothed as well with the grace of the Holy Spirit. The Lord ends this parable with a saying, "Many are called, but few are chosen." And St. Theophylact points out that it is God's part to call, but to become one of the chosen or not is our part. So you see, it's not like when we were kids and we were lining up to pick sides for the game, you know, the baseball or the dodgeball or whatever, you know, okay, I'll pick so-and-so. You know, you get your teams. You know, that's not quite the same thing in this case, because God calls everybody to be on his team, you know. But if someone's going to sit there on the bench and not get up and come and play on the team, then, you know, they're not going to be chosen, you know, because they are choosing not to do what God wants. And of course, yet the Lord himself says, "Not everyone who says, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father." So, you know, God calls everybody, and, you know, everyone is welcome to the church and, you know, to be received through baptism and all that. But that's the other side of that, is that we have to actually do those commandments. We have to actually practice them in order to really, be saved. "Of the two thieves crucified beside the Lord, the foolish one mocked the Lord and was not saved, but the wise thief repented, acknowledged the Son of God, and asked him for salvation. And at that moment, the old garment of sin fell from his soul, and it was clothed in a resplendent wedding garment. So the repentant thief, with the dignity of one of the chosen, appeared in paradise at the king's table." And that's from St. Nikolai Glimmerovich. So brothers and sisters, let us contemplate the meaning of this parable, and let us make the effort to repent and to love God and our neighbor, and to acquire the grace of the Holy Spirit with God's help, so that when the time comes, we too will be numbered with those who have on their wedding garment for the feast God has prepared for us in his heavenly kingdom. Glory be to our God.